You may be seated. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. My subject this morning is just a hill of beans. It's just a hill of beans. We have a treasure here at Westmoreland, and it's the presence and the anointing of the Spirit of God. And we need to protect that. And I can sense God wanting to break in on us with a greater portion of His Spirit. And we need to hold on to godly values and live our lives according to the Bible. Some people may look at this church and think, well, it's just a hill of beans. But it's God's hill of beans. And I want to tell you something. Big doors swing on small hinges. I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2. It says, "And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him to David. And he became a captain over them, and there were about 400 men. My subject is just a hill of beans." Brother Philip Pearson, if you would come, please, and ask God's anointing upon the message and the messenger. Amen.
Father God, we thank you today for this beautiful day you've given us to set aside and to come to gather and to worship you. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We've already experienced it. We know that you're here, and we thank you for being here. We pray your continued presence in our midst, that you would anoint our minds and our hearts to be open and receptive to your word, and our wills to be anointed to obey your word, and our brother to be anointed to give us your word as your instrument. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, David was fleeing for his life from King Saul. David's one of my favorite characters because David was a warrior, yet David was a worshiper. David, this mighty man of battle, he knew how to get God's attention, and he knew how to worship him. He's fleeing for his life from King Saul, and while he's on the run, he comes to the cave of Adullam, and he sets up his headquarters there. Adullam, it was a cave, and it had a small entrance. I got a sermon somewhere, the place of the squeeze, and the only way you could get into that cave was to turn sideways and squeeze your way through it. And David took his mighty men there to the cave of Adullam, and David had this strange ability about him. He was able to attract certain people, those who were down and out, the rejects of society. Look at what the Bible says about these people in 1 Samuel 22 and 2 again. He says, "And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto David, and he became a captain over them, and there were about 400 men." Now, how would you like to start an army with people like that? These men had the DDDs. They were in distress, they were in debt, and they were discontent with life. They were the rejects of society, and these rejects, they came to David. They were like many of us when we came to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were broken, and their lives had been shattered, and life had dealt them some crushing blows. The rejects of society, they came to David. But David was God's champion. David, he was chosen by God. He was anointed by God, and the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven, he was with David, just like he is with you and me, no matter what battles we go through in this life. And in that cave of Adullam, David took these broken outcasts of society, and he turned them into mighty men of God. David trained them. David taught them. They became the elite fighting force of David. These were David's mighty men, and no nation and no kingdom could stand against them. I keep seeing Brother Wayne Stancil back there, and I think about him serving his country in Vietnam. He carries a Purple Heart today, but when I talk about battle, he understands what I'm talking about. And many others who have been in combat like we have, you understand what battle is. But these men, they came to the cave of Adullam one way, and they went out another way. just like we went to boot camp one way and we came out another way, Brother Wayne. They came in, these men did, beaten down. They came in discouraged. But they went out of that place, the mighty men of God. You see, David was not a quitter. David was a warrior. And David had a warrior anointing upon him. And he knew that God was with him. And David, this man, after God's own heart, he transferred the courage and the strength and the anointing that God had placed on his life. He transferred that to others who were gathered around him. Church, we need another David. We need another cave of Adullam. America needs another David. We're living in the last great battle before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need men and women who will rise up in the Spirit of God and say, we're not backing down. We are well able to take this land. It's time for the church to wake up. The Bible says, arise and shine. Your day has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And God is looking for some champions in this last days. You know, I learned something a long time ago. There is a tangibility to the Spirit of God. And God wants us to equip others around us. And God wants us to transfer the anointing of the Holy Ghost to the next generation. I don't know how it happened, but what was in my mother and what was in my daddy and what was in those saints of old, I didn't have my mind on God, but the whole time it was getting inside of me. Hallelujah. When the evangelist would come to Henderson, where I grew up, you can't say Henderson, you have to say Hunterson if you're from Henderson. But Brother Jensen Franklin and Richie, Richie and I used to preach together. His dad pastored the Church of God in North Henderson there. And when the evangelists would come to our church, they always stayed at our home, and I knew I was not going to get that piece of fried chicken that morning that I wanted, that it was going to the evangelists. They slept in our house. Guess what? That meant I had to give up my bed. And guess what? Something else. I did not know it, but the anointing that was upon the lives of those men that came in that house all the time, woo, it was getting inside of me. Mother and daddy sing, and we would go to church, and the glory of God would fill. They would be singing sometimes, and people would be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave their arms. I grew up in that anointed atmosphere, and we don't ever need to lose what we have as Pentecostal preacher. People and young people, you need to be like a sponge when you come into this sanctuary. You need to soak up everything. I said, soak it up. Soak up everything God has for you. Be like that sponge and say, I come to get a touch from God. And the older saints, when the pillars start moving, when the pillars in the church start shouting, when those old saints start dancing, I promise you something, the Holy Ghost fire that's in them, it'll start getting into the younger people. Somebody go on, praise God for his presence in this place today. Hallelujah. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 22, we find a man, his name is Shammah. I like Shammah. I like the spirit that was in Shammah. What was in David got in Shammah. And I want you to watch this. He was one of David's mighty men. 2 Samuel 23 and 11 says, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop where there was a ground full of lentils. In other words, a hill of beans. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he, Shammah, he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great battle. His name was Shammah. He is one of the relatively unknowns in the scriptures. And he did a relatively unknown, insignificant thing. He stood in the middle of a bean patch and he said, this is mine and nobody is going to take it from me. It was just a hill of beans, but it meant something to Shammah. And he stood in the midst of that bean patch and he defended it. You've heard the old saying, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. You've heard that, haven't you? It doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Yet Shammah said, it's my bean patch, and it means something to me. Shammah stood in the middle of it, and when everyone else ran and fled, Shammah said, this is worth dying for. This is my hill of beans, and I will not compromise. And so standing there in the middle of that bean patch, that was one of David's mighty men, a man named Shammah. You know that name Shammah? You know, that's one of the redemptive names of God, Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. I believe one of those men must have got a hold of that name is Shammah. My God, I've heard that name before, and we're in big trouble. The Lord God of hosts is with that man called Shammah. Hallelujah. Jehovah Shammah, the God is there. God was with him. God is with you. God fought his battles. God will fight your battles. I said, praise God. God will show up in your problem. He'll take you through the fire, through the flood, and through the waters. None of it will overcome you if you'll put your hand in that nail-scarred hand and walk with Jesus Christ. I tell you, he'll quicken your body, renew your youth, renew your strength. Hallelujah. He's a great God, and that God that I serve, he's in control. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigning. Somebody, go on and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Shammah, he was one of those men that were in debt, discontent, hallelujah, and distressed. But he was with David at the cave of Adullam. And David trained him, David taught him, and the anointing of David came upon this man. It was transferred to Shammah. And that's what I want us to do to the coming generation. I want us to transfer something tangible. The power, the anointing, the miracle working power of the Holy Ghost. And when everyone else ran, when the Philistines came, Shammah stood in the midst of that bean patch and he defended it. I can just hear his friends reasoning with him. You know, if you get around 10 people, you're probably going to have about 8 gripers. But I can just hear the people reasoning with Shammah. Said, it's not worth it, Shammah. Just give up. Don't die over a bean patch, Shammah. There are more important things than a bean patch to fight over. And Shammah, you can stay if you want to, but we're all leaving. But Shammah, he stood there and he stood alone. But he wasn't alone because the Lord God of hosts was with him. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about the Bible. The Bible is not a book about mass movements. The Bible is a book of individuals, one man and one woman being used of God. Men and women who single-handed and in some lonely way at times, they stood up for small things. Just because they were right. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible is full of examples that the kingdom of God is not made up of big things, but of little things. Jesus taught us to be faithful in the little. Why did he do that? Well, if you're faithful with a penny, guess what? You'll be faithful with much. If you will pay your tithe on a few dollars, then God knows you will pay your tithe on $1 million, and God can open the windows of heaven and he can pour you out a blessing that there'll not be room enough to receive it. I want you to say it. I am blessed and highly favored of God. Say it again. I am blessed and highly favored of God. Say it one more time and let the devil hear it. I am blessed, 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 and highly favored of God. Hallelujah. See, the Bible is a book about ordinary people that do extraordinary things by the Spirit of God. It's a book full of men and women standing alone because they had a conviction about what was right and what was wrong. See, church, we are raising children in our families, In every home, it may look like a hill of beans. You find some of them, you know, they're like a shack, and some of them, they're mobile homes, and you find apartments, and you find mansions, and God's got people in all the places. But the God I serve, He's the God of increase. He's the God of promotion. And I've got a mansion waiting for me in glory. Hallelujah. But while I'm down here, I want everything that God has purposed for my life. And God has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He's redeemed us from spiritual separation from Him. We've been born again. He has redeemed us from sickness and disease, and you just got to know that. And He has redeemed us from poverty, and the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, and we're in the last days. So get ready for God to do something supernatural and extraordinary in your life. Go on and praise Him. Let the devil know that he's not in charge of your life, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Master, and the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. I've had a lot of battles myself, and let me tell you something. I put down memorials. I put one here, and I put one there, and I put another one. And the devil said, well, God's not going to do it this time. And I take him back. I said, let me rub your face in what God has already done. God did it here. God did it here. God did it here. God did it here. And I praise him. And goodness and mercy, they're on my trail. They're following me everywhere I go. I can't get away from them. Hallelujah. That's a hunting term. Goodness and mercy. They follow me. They follow you. God has purposed good things for your life. Hallelujah. So get excited about the battle. Don't whine and groan and moan. Get a warrior anointing upon you. Say, I will stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Glory to God. I belong to Jesus. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something else about Shammah. I love this man's spirit. You know I love David, but I love Shammah because he got what David had. Hallelujah. He found something in life that he was willing to fight for. He found something in life he was willing to die for. He was willing to die for that hill of beans. Can you imagine that? It's just a hill of beans, Shammah. Well, it may be a hill of beans to you, but it's my hill of beans. Amen. See, it wasn't significant to others. It was just a hill of beans. Nobody else cared about it except for Shammah. He knew that it was important, not because of its value, not because of its monetary worth, but because of its spiritual significance, not because it was precious, but because of the principle, not because it was rare, but because it was right. And in this country, you rarely find people who are willing to die for a principle and for what is right. And that's why we need an outpouring of God's Holy Ghost power like we have never seen. We need a spiritual awakening. We need for the church to take off its political ears and put on its biblical ears. Hallelujah. Take off their denominational ears and get into this book right here and see what belongs to them and stand up in life so you can make a difference. I said you can make a difference. Not just your vote, but you can tell other people how to make a difference. You have been called of God. You are anointed of God. You are chosen of God. You are sent by God. So go out there and change the world around you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, people in this nation, they have become so success-oriented that they have forgotten about little things. They've forgotten about little stepping stones like personal holiness and morality and honesty and integrity and things like convictions and principles. And some of those things no longer mean anything to some people. But I believe I'm preaching to people, and those of you that are watching by Facebook Live, I believe that you understand some things about God, and you're tuning in today and you're sitting in the house of God today because you want to see a move of God. And you know that if we will rise up together as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the spirit of unity is, the Bible says, there the Lord commanded the blessing. Get a spirit of unity in your home. Get a spirit of unity where you work. Get a spirit of unity in your marriage. Get a spirit of unity in your neighborhood. And watch God work. If you read Psalm 10, it sort of escapes me right now. But it says, at the place of unity, God commands a blessing. If you read the first part at the place of unity, you got to go drop all the way down to the third verse. It's only three verses. Might be Psalms 133. That's irrelevant. I tell the devil, I said, if I can't say where it is, I can tell you one thing. I can quote it. Hallelujah. I can quote it. And I got the sword of the Spirit. I tell you, it's a sharp two-edged sword. I tell the devil, I said, it cuts both ways. I tell him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. It shall be done unto you. Not it might be, but it shall be done unto you. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. I like those shells in the Bible. Hallelujah. See, we have gotten to the place, if we're not careful, that we don't want another confrontation. We try to avoid confrontation. We try to avoid problems. We try to avoid another battle. We learn how to give up. And we've learned how to give in. And we've learned how to compromise when it comes to spiritual things. And I'm not talking about traditions. I'm talking about spiritual things, things that the Word of God says, things that some political parties you could never vote for. Thou shall not kill. In other words, thou shall not abort little babies. Amen. I don't have to go any further than right there to know I'm going to cast my vote on the right side. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've learned to compromise. See, I'm talking about spiritual things, and traditions and spiritual things, they are not the same. That lie of the devil has kept the church in bondage for too many years. I'm talking about spiritual things. And once you compromise spiritual things, let me tell you something. You lose. Anything that is done in darkness, it will come to light. There are some people I'm not worried about what they say on national TV. I already know what the book says, that they love their deeds because they're done in darkness. They don't want them to come to the light, because when the light exposes it, then the whole world will know. So I'm just trying to open some eyes this morning, hallelujah, and let God do what God does. See, it's the tactic of the devil to take one step at a time, one piece at a time, one being at a time, until he owns the entire bean field. Now, I want you to go back with me to Egypt. Now, Moses, God sent him down to Egypt. And he told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And Moses was willing to stand in the middle of the bean patch, so to say. And Moses was not about to back down. When God began to send the plagues on the Egyptians, it got Pharaoh's attention. Pharaoh calls Moses in after the flies had covered the land. And Pharaoh said, okay, let's work something out. Let's make a deal. Let's compromise. I'll let you go and worship your God. Only don't go too far. Don't go way out there in the wilderness. But Moses, he was not about to back down. He told Pharaoh, when we go, We're leaving. We're going to do what we want. We're going to take everything with us. Pharaoh got so mad that he had Moses thrown out of his presence. Then came the locusts, and Pharaoh said, okay, let's compromise. I'll let you go, but the men only, no wives and no children. But Moses said, no deal, and more plagues and more misery came. Then the darkness came. And after darkness upon the land, Pharaoh, he calls Moses in again, says, let's compromise, let's make out a deal. See, the devil is always trying to get you to compromise something. He's always trying to get you to give up a principle of what is right and what is wrong. I'll tell you something. If it was right for grandmother and mother, they're in heaven shouting the glories of God. They're beholding his glory. And what took them through will take me through. And what took them through will take you through. We don't need to compromise some things. We need to hold on to godly values. We need to appreciate our country. We need to appreciate our heritage. We need to appreciate the church. We need to appreciate, glory to God, what God has done and how he's raised up this great nation. The darkness came and Pharaoh said, called him in again and said, let's compromise. Let's work this thing out. You can go and you can take your wife and you can take your kids. You can go as far as you want to, but leave your cattle, leave your sheep, leave your herds, leave your flocks, leave your possession, leave everything. And Moses looked at Pharaoh and said, I want you to understand something. We will go. And we're going, and when we go, we're going to take our men, our women, our children, our flocks, our herds, our pots, our pans, our clothes. Matter of fact, we're going to take some of that stuff we've been working for. Amen. The Bible says he brought them forth with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among their tribe. Where'd they get all that gold? Where'd they get all that silver? Where'd they get all that beautiful apparel? They took it because they had worked all those years. They took it from the people that in Pharaoh's kingdom, the Egyptians, and when they went out of there, they went out loaded down. The greatest revival that's ever hit planet Earth is about to show up, and when we leave this place, we're going to be loaded down with healings and miracles and God doing things. Eyes not seen, is not heard. It's not even in the hearts of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Hallelujah. See, Pharaoh said, we are going. Moses said, Pharaoh, we are going and we are taking everything. See, Pharaoh, now listen very carefully. He wanted them to leave their herds behind. Because back in that Old Testament dispensation, you couldn't worship God without a blood sacrifice. And he wanted them to leave the herds behind so they couldn't worship their God. Now you and I, you know what the blood of goats and bulls and heifers, the ashes of them could never do? God, who is rich in mercy, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And today I can go and you can go boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Somebody gonna praise God. He said, where grace did abound, sin did abound, grace does much more abound. And of his fullness have you received, and grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Oh, goodness and mercy, they just on my trail. And they're on your trail too. Hallelujah. So finally Moses said, we're gonna leave and we're gonna take everything. Everything is going. You're the one, Pharaoh, who's in trouble. And when we leave, we're taking everything with us. We're not going to back up. We're not going to give in. We're not going to give up. We're not going to fear. We're not going to worry. And we're not going to back up. Moses knew, listen now, when God is backing you up, you don't have to back down. Let me say that again. When God is backing you up, you don't have to back down. I tell you, the church, the devil has taken some things from a lot of people. But we need to go out there and take it back. The Bible says the violent take it by force. And you've got to get a warrior spirit upon you. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. Jesus Christ, your elder brother, he defeated him 2,000 years ago when he burst forth out of that tomb. And we're not fighting for a victory. We're fighting from the victory of Calvary's cross. There's an occupying army. When we defeated Japan, we left an occupying army there. What were they to do? That occupying army, they were there to enforce the rules of the United States. When Jesus left this planet, he left a church here. He said, I want the church to occupy until I come. What are we to do? We're to go out and set things right and enforce the rights and the privileges that we have in the kingdom of God. Somebody praise God. Let the devil hear it. Glory to God. My Lord. See, the same power that came upon David and when he slew Goliath, that's the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the firstfruits. And he's the chief cornerstone. And we are lively stones, hallelujah. And we've been hewed out of that same rock, and we've got the same power and the same anointing. And I got good news for you. If you are full of the Holy Ghost, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in you. Go on and praise God. I want the devil to know I'm battle ready. I'm ready to fight. I have a warrior spirit about me. When I was a little boy, I'd always ask for a pair of combat boots at Christmas. And they asked me why I wanted that. Well, I had an older brother and I had some older cousins. And they were strong and I was. When I took those combat boots and kicked them in the shin, let me tell you something, they dropped over. And I took care of business then. Hallelujah. I've always liked a good fight. Yeah, they put me out there fighting the guys that were bigger than me. But I was fast. And I had a jab and I had a hard punch. I could knock them down. But if they knocked me to the ground and got on me, they were bigger than me. And my cousin, he would come and pull them off of me, put us back up to go again. And I grew up like that. I grew up in that atmosphere. When I joined the Marine Corps, my daddy said, don't you join the Marine Corps, son. Don't you know they're the first to fight? I said, that's why I want to join the Marine Corps. I woke up one day in Vietnam, and the guy in the foxhole next to me, I said, you know something, boy? Your daddy was right. He said, who you calling a boy? I said, I'm talking to myself. I said, my daddy told me not to join the Marine Corps. They were the first to fight. And look at me now. I told that to my daddy when I got home. He said, I tried to tell you, son. Shook his head and walked off. I tell you, you know, we need to listen to godly values from godly parents and from people that know something in life. But I'm so glad that I have that warrior spirit in me. God is a good God. I don't want to compromise, church. I didn't come to compromise. Amen. I don't want to live in the smoke and ashes of yesterday when I can have the power of the Holy Ghost today. I'm looking for the glory of God to invade this generation. I'm looking for the church to be full of supernatural power. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to empower his church. And like old brother David, I cry constantly, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And we have the same responsibility, church, and we have that Moses had, and we have the same responsibility that Shammah had. And when we see the worldliness, and when we see evil encroaching upon our families, when we see it encroaching upon the church, when we see it encroaching upon our nation, we need to stand up and say, I am not backing down. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It may seem like a bean patch to you, but once you give the bean patch to the devil will want the backyard. And if you give him the backyard, he'll want the back porch. And if you give him the back porch, he'll want the kitchen. And if you give him the kitchen, he'll want the living room. And if you give him the living room, he'll just keep on nibbling and eating away until he owns the whole house. That's what has happened to our nation. First it was prayer. Then it was the Ten Commandments. Then the Bible, the Word of God. the Bible was taken out of our schools. But I tell you, I'm like old brother David. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And today we have a nation that's full of misfits, and we have a nation that is morally rotting at the core because of the ungodly values that we have permitted to come into this nation. We have Muslims that are sitting in the halls of Congress. Do you know they will not let them even come into the nation of Israel? We have compromised so much that we become a bunch of idiots, not knowing that there's a holy war. It's called Jihad that's going on. And we got people in the church, and they're so spiritually blinded they cannot even see and hear what I'm talking about. Take off those political glasses. Get your Bible out. Read the Word of God and let God work in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. We have abortion on demand. We have same-sex marriage in this country. Defunding the police. Rioting, looting, burning buildings, destroying national monuments. Can you believe that we've become such a nation as that? The church has got to learn to stand. The church needs to come together and vote the Bible in this coming presidential election. We need to unite together, church, on godly principles. We need to forget about the political parties. Amen. I threw that stuff out a long time ago when I got lost in the Word of God. And I began to see what God said. And if you're watching today, and if you've not had your eyes open, I command them to open in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus told Peter, he said, I want you to cast your net on the right side for a great catch. Cast your net on the right side for a great catch. And we need to cast our vote on the right side and make this nation great again by supporting the political party that has godly values and Christian conservative values. We need to stop aborting and killing little babies, innocent babies. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what we say here. How can you pursue happiness if you died when you were in your mother's womb 1 minute before? Now they've got to the place and they become like heathens, that they'll kill you outside the womb lying on a table. That's killing right there. That's murder. Jesus said, don't you know, it's written of old, thou shalt not murder, and he that murders shall be brought into the judgment. Gotten to the place we don't fear God. It's a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God wants us to love Him. God wants us to worship Him. And God wants us to obey Him. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. We need laws that will support traditional family. Our lawmakers have become lawbreakers, and they are destroying the traditional family. The church has got to learn. We cannot compromise. And we will never surrender our godly values. I said we will never surrender them. I fought a war in Vietnam for my country. And if I got to go for Jesus Christ, praise God, I'm not afraid to die. Whether I live under the Lord. Whether I die under the Lord. Whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. And if I die, I'm going to take the shortcut home to glory. Woo! Hallelujah. That's what Paul said. How do you mess with a man like that? Whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. They carried him out to the chopping block, said, we're going to chop your head off. They raised the axe and boom, they dropped on his neck, and his spirit flew home to be with God, which is far better. That's what the man said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're in the last days, church, and we need some champions that will not compromise. The strength of a nation is its God. The strength of a nation is its home. The strength of a nation is its moral laws and its principles. And we need to tell the devil, I'm standing in the middle of this bean patch, and devil, you cannot have it. You will not have my home. You will not have my family. You will not have my marriage. You will not have my household. You will not have this nation. This nation was raised up by God Almighty. This nation belongs to God, and I belong to God. And devil, it may look like a bean patch, but let me tell you something. It's my bean patch. Glory to God. The Lord gave it to us, church, and we should never let the devil take it from us. Church, we're not called to be intimidated by the political unrest and the lies that are spewed out daily by the news media. God has called us to station ourselves, not to be intimidated by the political unrest. And we're to fight. And we're to pray like we have never prayed before. That's why we for one solid week, we prayed. We prayed every night for one solid week. And when Franklin Graham had that great march up in Washington, D.C., we gathered on that Saturday. I sent notes out to pastors, and I didn't get a whole lot back. I invited them. But it doesn't bother me. I'm a warrior. I'm a prayer warrior. I'm anointed to pray. Hallelujah. I love to pray. I love to pray. I preached it the other night. I said I've enjoyed 38 years of answered prayer. Woo! Hallelujah. God answers prayer. 38 years, devil. Hallelujah. 38 years. I got memorials here and there and everywhere. Glory to God. This nation belongs to God. It may seem like that some people in our nation, you know, they think that the upcoming presidential election is just a hill of beans. But let me tell you some facts here. We're not voting for the person or the party. We are voting for the platform. We're not voting for that kind of stuff. We're voting for the First Amendment. For our religious freedoms. We are voting for the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms. We are voting for the next Supreme Court justice. We are voting for the Electoral College. We are voting for the police officers that protect us every day. We are voting for law and order. We are voting for the military and the veterans who fought, who bled, and who died to protect this country. We're voting for the flag. Glory to God. I'm voting for this flag right here. Glory to God. I'm voting for this flag right here. Glory to God. His banner over us is love. And I've read the book, and praise God, we win, but we got to stand up and fight. We're voting for that flag. We're voting for God to be left in the Pledge of Allegiance. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We're voting for secure borders. We're voting for the right to praise God without fear. Let them come and tell me that I can't praise God. Just let them show up. Somebody said, they'll take you off to prison. I said, I'll go preach the gospel to them just like Paul did in prison. I'm not afraid and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, and God raised this nation up, and God will help us. We're voting for good over evil. It's called Yihad, the holy war. And we need to vote the Bible. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, whom he has chosen for his inheritance. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. You didn't go looking for God. God went looking for you. Hallelujah. He said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. There's a battle going on, but it's the Lord's battle. But you and I, we have got to take a stand. And we got to vote right. And we got to make a difference. Tell your Christian friends, vote, vote, vote. Cast your vote on the right side. There are some people that treat our nation like it's just a hill of beans. But I've traveled the world over. And America is the greatest nation on planet Earth. Yes. Some people said, well, you sound like you're more concerned about politics than you are about the gospel. Let me tell you something. When you allow evil and you've got a political party that you love more than you love righteousness, you have an idol in your heart. God says, Son of Man, these men have set up idols in their heart. They put the stumbling block of their iniquity before my face. Should I be inquired of it all by them? See, there are some people, they've been cut off because they will not listen to God. God say, I have spoken yea once, yea twice. He gave us this in 2016, the day that the whole world was shocked that night when President Donald J. Trump took office. He said, while they sleep, while they slumber, in dreams and in visions, I will give them instruction and I will seal those instructions up. And the nation was shocked by what God did. But God needs some people, church. Let's make America great again. Yeah. Let's make it even greater. I close with this. 2 Samuel 23 and 12. But he, Shammah, stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And look at this. And the Lord wrought a great victory. God was with Shammah, and God is with us. And if God be for us, who can stand against us? Let us stand. And I literally mean that. Let us stand. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. God bless America from sea to shining sea. Sing it, brother. God bless the church, Lord, with an outpouring of your Spirit. Let my pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. We love you. And God, we need help. You said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face. Brother Philip, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, heal their land. Look at me.
In me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me, bring me near, draw me to your side, and as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle. I will soar with you. Your Spirit leads me on in the power of your love.